This is Made in Montana News on the Treasure State Radio Network. I'm Jay Scott. After 2 months of litigation and consideration, the Montana Supreme Court reversed the State Attorney General's January finding that a constitutional initiative to explicitly protect abortion rights is legally insufficient. The ruling, signed by 6 of the court's 7 justices and authored by Justice Ingrid Gustafson, found that the proposal submitted last fall by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana did not improperly log roll distinct subjects together, and that the Attorney General, Austin Knutson, exceeded his authority by concluding that the proposal would confuse voters in conflict with other sections of the Constitution. Quote, CI 14 affects a single change to the Montana Constitution on a single subject, the right to make decision about one's own pregnancy, including the right to abortion. If CI 14 is placed on the ballot, voters may ultimately agree or disagree with the proposed change that CI 14 offers, but they will be able to understand what they're being asked to vote upon, because CI 14 does not affect 2 or more changes that are not substantive and closely related. Gustafson's 16-page opinion also found that Knutson was legally incorrect to write a fiscal note to accompany the proposal when the state's Office of Budget and Program Planning found the initiative's fiscal impact could not be determined. Quote, OBPP determined that there will be no fiscal impact in fiscal years 2024 and 2025, and it concluded it was unable to determine any fiscal impact beyond that. Without a determination that a proposed ballot initiative will have a fiscal impact, no fiscal statement by the Attorney General is either warranted or provided for in statute. A Washington state man accused of helping kill thousands of birds is expected to plead guilty to shooting eagles on an American Indian reservation in Montana and selling their feathers and body parts on the black market. A grand jury indictment last December quotes defendant Travis John Branson as saying in January 20 text message that he was going on a killing spree to obtain eagle tails. Branson and a second defendant, Simon Paul, killed approximately 3,600 birds, including eagles, on the Flathead Indian Reservation and elsewhere, according to the indictment. Federal authorities have not disclosed how all the birds were killed, nor where the killings happened. Branson of Cusick, Washington, sold an unidentified purchaser 2 sets of golden eagle tail feathers. They are highly prized among Native American tribes. Multiple phones seized by authorities during a traffic stop yielded photos and text messages that described the shooting, killing, and ultimate selling of bald and golden eagles throughout the United States, prosecutors said. Feathers and other parts are illegal to sell, but widely used by Native Americans in ceremonies and during powwows. Branson, who remained free following the indictment, reached a deal with prosecutors last month to plead guilty to 4 counts. He faces 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine at sentencing on the most serious charge, conspiracy. Under the plea deal, lawyers for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Montana said they would seek to dismiss additional trafficking charges and would recommend a sentencing guideline reduction that could lessen the severity of Branson's punishment. Montana is changing requirements around teacher licensing in order to fill vacancies in the state. The Montana Board of Public Education voted unanimously to approve an alternative path to teacher licensing in the hopes it will help get more teachers in the classroom. the largest union in the state, opposes the decision to approve alternative teacher licensing, but the Montana Chamber of Commerce endorses it, say it can help avoid rapid turnover in rural communities. Last fall, the Office of Public Instruction reported more than 1,000 teacher vacancies in the state. Both the National and Montana Association of School Psychologists and several other organizations oppose the change. Ignoring the requirement would put the state out of line with national standards and could hurt the state's chances of joining interstate licensing agreements, which could help recruitment. Federal agencies would only focus on big fish cases if they take over felony jurisdiction on the Flathead Indian Reservation. That's according to Montana's U.S. Attorney Jesse Lazlovich, who met with Lake County commissioners to discuss possible paths forward if the federal government assumes jurisdiction on the reservation. Lazlovich said federal government taking over would mean fewer cases get prosecuted and more menace within the community. The state assumed criminal jurisdiction over the Flathead Indian Reservation in 1963. Lake County is set to withdraw from that agreement on May 20th, with the governor expected to dissolve the agreement shortly thereafter. The federal government would then get the proverbial jurisdiction hot potato, and Lazlovich said with limited resources, the feds would prosecute only a fraction of the cases that the county currently does. Commissioner Bill Barron asked Lazlovich if Lake County would be a lawless land without the agreement, to which Lazlovich said, I think the situation worsens. They're going to be a menace and terrorists in the community, for lack of a better word, Lazlovich said. I think that's a real concern. Lazlovich said federal prosecutors in the state are already working at capacity. Quote, we don't have additional positions that we can just grab from the tree to prosecute these cases. Senate Republican leadership is heading into a last-ditch effort to try to block a court-ordered override poll of a popular bill that Governor Greg Gianforte vetoed last session. The push comes 3 days after the Montana Supreme Court cleared the way for the poll to be sent out by Montana Secretary of State Chrissy Jacobson. Senate Bill 442 was a very widely supported bipartisan bill to redistribute Montana's marijuana tax revenue, including new allocations to county road maintenance and a Habitat Legacy Conservation Program. While most lawmakers supported the bill, the governor and a handful of Republicans objected to it because more money was not going to crime prevention or to the general fund. Riley Summers Flanagan, an attorney representing Wild Montana and the Montana Wildlife Federation, two of the three plaintiffs in the case, said in response to the move from lawmakers that they, quote, appear to profoundly misunderstand the court's order. This case has always been about making it clear that the legislature is a co-equal branch of government and the executive can't use gamesmanship to take their powers away. Ultimately, Summers Flanagan continued, this is an attempt to shift the discussion away from county roads, conservation funding, and veterans programming, all of which benefit from the bill. Montana Association of Counties Executive Director Eric Bryson said in a statement that the courts have already agreed, quote, that no process allows a sitting governor to issue a pocket veto. Quote, we respect whatever manner the legislature chooses to exercise that right, by participating in the poll or not, but we hope they choose to vote in favor of legislation that is good for Montana, according to Bryson. The entire case has involved the interpretation of what in session means for the legislature. Gianforte and Republicans, who have been unhappy with SB 442's passage, have for 10 months maintained that since the House was still in session that day, for several hours after the Senate adjourned, the legislature was still in session. but attorneys for the plaintiffs have always said they believe the legislature was not in session when the veto occurred, because the veto message never made it to the Senate chambers before the Senate adjourned. Judge Mike Manahan in January sided with the plaintiffs, saying the framers of the state constitution made it clear that the legislature needed an opportunity to override a veto no matter when it occurred, and that the loophole the governor was using to avoid sending the veto and bill to Jacobson so she could mail out the override poll needed to be closed. Quote, "This creates a situation in which the legislature is deprived of a constitutionally delegated authority on the basis of a procedural anomaly." That's according to Judge Manahan. Democratic leadership saw the Republicans' effort differently. Every Democratic lawmaker supported SB 442 last session. Quote, "After months of repeated political tricks and delay tactics by Governor Gianforte, legislators should and will have the opportunity to override the governor's veto and make the bill law." That's according to Senate Minority Leader Pat Flowers, the Democrat from Belgrade. He also made the motion to adjourn late last May. Quote, "It is unfortunate that at the 11th hour, some Republican legislators are refusing to stand by Montana and instead are surrendering their constitutional duties to the governor." The Montana Public Service Commission will hold a public hearing on April 8th on a petition to adopt a rule to require consideration of climate change impacts on the health and environment in its decisions. Quote, "To have a composite of robust public commentary on record in one setting is a great opportunity." That's according to Commissioner Annie Bukasic. Commissioners voted 5-0 on Tuesday to approve a staff recommendation to hold a hearing on the petition from more than 40 Montana business leaders and organizations. Supporters of the hearing and the new rule argue the rule will help protect Montanans from continuing to pay skyrocketing power bills, shield against a future without snow and dead trout populations from warm rivers. Calls for a rule that would require the Public Service Commission to consider several factors in making decisions about whether costs and actions related to electric and gas utilities are in the public interest. If you need to hear this report again, please check the podcast on our Treasure State Radio or KGRT-DB webpages. Made in Montana News is podcast worldwide, with listeners in now 53 U.S. states and Canadian provinces, 3 Native American nations, in 33 countries on 6 continents. We also post expanded versions of our stories on Facebook. Made in Montana News is heard on the Treasure State Radio Network, including KMEH 100.1 FM in Helena, Elkhorn Mountains Radio in Jefferson County, Homegrown Radio in Bozeman, King West Radio in Billings, Rescast Radio on the Fort Peck Reservation, PIVA Radio of the Northern Cheyenne Nation, and Crow Res Radio of the Crow Nation. That's Made in Montana News. I'm Jay Scott. This is the Treasure State Radio Network.